Bible now and find Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and then chapter 9 in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. And I pray the Lord will bless us together. I love that song, My Redeemer. Oh, that was great. That's, I know my Redeemer liveth. That's our hope. He's a living God. The living Savior. He's God, our Savior. And He ever liveth. It says many times in the Word of God, He ever liveth. Matter of fact, it's written right here in the book of Hebrews, isn't it? You find Hebrews 9, but if you just flip one page back in chapter 7, wherefore He's able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth. He ever liveth. Think of it. He ever liveth to make intercession for them, for His people. And then we see again in Hebrews chapter 9, notice verse 24. Hebrews 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. I mean, right now, He is interceding for us as our advocate, as our mediator, and He presents us to the Father, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Read on, verse 25, nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entereth in the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then He must have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, one time, He came one time with one sacrifice, one offering for sin. But now once in the end of the world hath He appeared. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment, so Christ once offered, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, the many, His people, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We see in those verses, in verse 24, the present appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now He to appear in the presence of God for us. And then we see in verse 26, His past appearance. But now once hath He appeared in the end, the age, to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And then verse 28, the future coming of our blessed Redeemer. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The title of my message this evening is taken from verse 26. Christ appeared to put away sin. What a glorious thought. The blessed Redeemer, God Almighty, came and put away the sin of God's covenant people. I can't think of a better way to spend an evening, a day, a weekend, a millennial, than together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, worship Him together with His people, and to preach His gospel, of which God's people are not ashamed. They're not ashamed. I love that song we sang a moment ago. I know whom I have believed, and I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. Salvation is knowing the living Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in a person, the Lord Himself. We have no better message to preach than the glorious sacrifice of our blessed Redeemer, who gave Himself for our sins and died for our sins according to the Scripture. We have no better message to preach than Christ and Him crucified. That is the good news of the gospel. We have no better book in all the scripture that so clearly tells us about the glorious person and perfect redeeming work of our great God and Savior. And I love the way He's presented in all scripture, but especially here in the book of Hebrews, as our great high priest. Turn back to chapter 4 in the book of Hebrews. Now, I love the study of the book of Hebrews. And I love the study of about the priesthood of Christ, His priestly work, His person, and His priestly work for us. He is our prophet to reveal the Father unto us. He is our priest to represent us unto God. And He is our King that rules and reigns over us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He had no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. We have such a great high priest. Hebrews 7, turn there, verse 26. Such a high priest became us. He identified with us in our humanity apart from sin. For such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sin, made higher than the heavens. If you look back in chapter 2, I believe it is, verse 14, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, dwelt among His people. And John said, we beheld His glory. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, that He might deliver them. He destroyed him that He might deliver them. He is called our deliverer. That's what a redeemer is. When we talk about redemption, that is being delivered from our sin, from the penalty of that sin. Now look back to Hebrews chapter 9. I know better, no better book in all the scripture that so gloriously and clearly tells us about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The key word in the book of Hebrews, you who are students, and I know your pastor has taught you well, what is the key word in the book of Hebrews? The key word is better, isn't it? Better. At least 11 or 12 times when you read through the book of Hebrews, look for the word better. Christ is the best. He is superior to everything. Just a few things we see about in the Word of God here in the book of Hebrews. The Lord Jesus Christ, turn to Hebrews 7. He is better. The law, verse 19, made nothing perfect, but bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Everything you can think about the Lord Jesus Christ is better. He's superior. He's the best. He has all the preeminence in all things. We have a better hope in Christ. We read in 2 Thessalonians that we have a good hope through grace. He's given us an everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace. Christ is our better hope, our good hope. You see, Christ in you, that's our hope. Christ in you is a hope of glory. And then we read again in the book of Hebrews that the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator of a better covenant. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. You don't mind looking at these scriptures, do you? Oh, it's our delight, isn't it, to talk about how glorious our blessed Redeemer is. Verse 6 in Hebrews, in chapter 8, verse 6. But now hath he appeared, now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, established upon better promises. The promise of God's salvation accomplished in Christ. All the promises of God in the Lord Jesus Christ are yes and amen. And they're in him, of which the word of God says of everything that God had promised. Now his book is full of promises. Of all that he has promised, how many of those promises will come to pass? All of them. I'm persuaded, like Abraham, that of all that God has promised, he is able to perform. You read over the last words of Joshua, and that was his testimony. Of all that God had promised, not one word shall fail. It can't. That scripture over in Isaiah 42, verse 4. I love that book of Isaiah that you read there from Isaiah 40. But that 42nd chapter, verse 4, there's a verse there that's a special verse to me, because it says that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot fail. In everything that he undertakes for us as a representative man, as our high priest, as our prophet, as our surety, our mediator, our intercessor, and everything that he undertakes for us, doing the work of the Father in redeeming us and securing our salvation, of which it can be said, he cannot and did not fail. We have, my friend, a successful Savior. Thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are on the winning team. Everybody wants to be on the winning team. Christ wins every battle. He is the victorious, conquering King of kings and Lord of lords. And because he wins, we win. He's fought every battle for us, and he's won the victory, and he's given us the spoils of his victory. We have in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an eternal inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved. It's reserved for you in heaven. Think of it. Glorious, glorious day. You see, we have a better mediator, a better covenant, a better high priest, and my friend, we have a better sacrifice. The blood of bulls and goats. All that blood. You imagine all those sacrifices. I mean, sometimes when that temple was finished and Solomon dedicated that temple, I mean, there were thousands and thousands of blood sacrifices. And you think down through all the years, the blood of bullocks and goats and all the blood on the Day of Atonement. But it says the blood of bulls and goats never put away one sin. It pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all those types and pictures. But it says in the book of Hebrews right here in chapter 10, verse 4, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin, but not so his blood. The Lord Jesus Christ, as our great high priest, he didn't bring the typical animal sacrifice, did he? Look right across the page at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and verse 12. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. His own blood he entered in once into the holy place. The holy place not made with hands, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He obtained it for his covenant people. You see, we have a better sacrifice, don't we? We have the best. God gave the best. He gave himself for us. Could we ask for anything better? Never. God bought the church with his own blood, precious blood that it is. By his one glorious sacrifice, he purchased our salvation for us. By his one glorious sacrifice of himself, he redeemed his covenant people from most of their sin. Excuse me. All of their sin. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. Not temporarily, but forever. He obtained for us eternal redemption. He obtained for us eternal salvation. He gives us eternal life. And we shall never perish because he holds us in his hand. We are one with him. By his one glorious sacrifice, he satisfied all that God's justice required. God cannot demand any more than what has been paid. Who shall anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, did stay dead, did he? Why didn't he stay dead? Delivered for our offenses and raised again because he justified us. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Satisfied every jot and tittle of God's holy law in precept and in penalty to enable our great God to be a just God and Savior. That's so important. Amen. That is so important. How God can justify the ungodly and not violate his own holy law and not violate his own holy character and yet show mercy to undeserving sinners in such a way that honors both his justice, his holiness, his law, and magnifies his love and mercy all at the same time. Amen. That's what we see in Christ crucified. You see, we have a glorious gospel, don't we? In Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ coming and dying, and all this to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. In he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in whom we have right now redemption from our sin, the forgiveness of our sin through the riches of his grace. Gets right back to grace again, doesn't it? We believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as others. And the Apostle Paul said, you know the grace of God. For as much as you know the grace of God, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Pastor Mahan years ago preached a message. It's on sermon audio. You can look it up. But the title of the message was, from that text, 2 Corinthians 8:9, the title of the message was, How I Became the World's Richest Man. And you're looking at the world's richest man. We have riches untold. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, freely, how freely they flow. Oh, I tell you, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption. Well, there's four things that I see in this verse 26 where it says, but now, Hebrews 9:26, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now let me give you my four points. First one is this, the problem presented. Did you see it there? The problem presented. S-I-N. Little word, big problems. Big problems. Sin. That's the problem presented. And then the solution and remedy revealed. And then thirdly, the glorious sacrifice is described, the sacrifice of himself. And then the wonderful success declared. He put away sin forever, never to be remembered again. Now, let's see if we can cover those four things. Okay, number one, the problem presented. Sin. sin. We are sinners. We are sinners. Do you think of yourself that way? Ungodly, guilty, vile, wretched sinners. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. All of us have this problem in common. We're sinners, through and through. That which is born of the flesh, that's all it ever will be, flesh. Flesh, all flesh is, says it over in Isaiah 40, all flesh is grass. All flesh is grass, human flesh and every other kind is grass because of sin. You see, we have this problem in common. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men are guilty before God. Romans 3:19 said, let every mouth be stopped. And all the world declared guilty before God. We've all sinned against God. Every one of us. In Adam, all sinned. In Adam, all died. And what Adam did, we did. His guilt and his disobedience was imputed and reckoned unto all of his race. What he did, we did. And I illustrate that with a homely illustration. My mother immigrated to this country from Holland in 1948. I wasn't born until 4 years later, but what she did, I did. When she came to this country, I came to this country because I was in her. And that's the same thing, the same principle. What Adam did, we did. When he sinned, we sinned. When God put him out, he put us out. Our sin has separated us from God. We have a big problem. We've sinned against God. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's what happened in the garden. A total fall. A total ruin. The wise man said, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. No, not one. Does that include you? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because of our sinful condition, none of us can put away our sin. God says, the best that I have is nothing but filthy rags, away with it. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Augustus Toplady wrote, could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Sin is difficult to put away. You cannot put away your sin. You cannot make atonement for your sin. You can't be sorry enough. You can't repent enough. Repentance never put away sin. Your prayers never put away one sin. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Sin is difficult and impossible to put away apart from the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ, that sacrifice that he made was unto God. Amen. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is not offered unto men. Not at all. It's the blood on the altar before the Lord. This is God's sacrifice for sin. John said, behold the Lamb that's of God. This is God's sacrifice for sin. And only what God has provided will God accept. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ came to put away our sin. With him all things are possible. Because salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is complete and sure and forever. There is a problem, sin. Thank God we don't have to end there. Thank God that there is more. the solution, the glorious solution, and the right and only remedy revealed. You see verse 26? Here's the remedy. He hath appeared. He hath appeared. The Lord Jesus Christ, he hath appeared. Once in the end of the age or the end of the day, when he appeared because it was determined and decreed of Almighty God, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Oh, you have taken and with wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory, but they only did what God determined before to be done. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Who sent him? God sent him. He's God's Son. He's God's Savior. I love the way the book of Titus and Timothy refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as God, our Savior, and so he is. When he appeared by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Who is this that appeared? This is God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll turn back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. It repeats that over and over again in the book of Hebrews. He seated the right hand of the majesty on high because he finished the work the Father gave him to do, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Who is this one? Jesus of Nazareth. He's God Almighty. Amen. He's God manifest in the flesh. He said to the apostles, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father, we are one. And it is true, he is God Almighty. The writer to Paul, when he writes to Timothy, said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and received up to glory. This is the one who came to redeem us. This is our sovereign Savior, the one who is the mighty God, who is mighty to save, promised by God to crush evil, to crush Satan's dominion. This is the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all the prophets give witness. To him give all the prophets witness. They all wrote of the one that is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one, the Lord Jesus, that has all power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to him. This is the one whose word rebuked the wind and calmed the storm. And the apostle said, never man spake like that man. Oh, he was a real man, but not just a mere man. He was a God-man mediator. This is the one who spoke a word and dead men regain life. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, he that was dead came forth. This is the one who came to redeem us. This is the one who healed thousands, fed multitudes, preached the gospel to the poor, healed the brokenhearted, restored sight to the blind, set at liberty those who were bruised. This is the one who came. And my friend, he cannot fail. This is the one who against all sin hath been committed, yet he appeared to deal with the sin of his people, his covenant people. In due time, when we were yet without strength, in due time, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us. Herein is love, John said. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin, the atoning victim, the one who has reconciled us unto God through his sacrifice. What amazing love is this? What amazing grace is this. Our blessed God and Savior is no rookie redeemer. He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is no amateur advocate. We have one God and one mediator, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's no amateur advocate. We have advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he's no mundane mediator. He's the only mediator that reconciles us unto God. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Lamb of God. This is the one who came to redeem us. And he cannot fail. And my friend, he did not fail. He came to redeem us. Thirdly, the glorious sacrifice is described here. He hath appeared. Who appeared? He hath appeared. The one sin of God. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The glorious sacrifice is described. The high priest under the law would never approach the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement to sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat. He would never approach the mercy seat without the blood of a designated sin offering, a designated blood offering. He would not dare approach God without the blood. Look over at Hebrews 9, verse 7. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs or the sin of the people. When Aaron went in to the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, he dare not lift up that veil and go under that veil without the blood. What do you reckon would have happened? It's been over. God had killed him. You see, sin demands a sacrifice. Sin demands a substitute. And that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that he didn't enter into the holy places made with hands, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. The Lord Jesus Christ did not bring the typical animal sacrifice. He did not bring the blood of others. He brought his own blood. He sacrificed himself. His sacrifice was the laying down of his own life. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We read in the book of Hebrews that Christ also has once suffered for us. Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He gave himself for our sins. This is God's lamb. This is that God himself has provided. You remember Isaac asked his father Abraham when they went yonder to Mount Moriah to worship God. And Isaac knew he was taught of God that you could not, taught of Abraham, that he could not approach God without a blood sacrifice. And he asked Abraham, where is the lamb? You remember the response? My God. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. And he did. The Lord Jesus Christ is that provided lamb that God demanded and that God provided and that God accepted. And remember this, only that which God provides will God accept. And that's the only sacrifice for sin that God will accept is the Lord Jesus Christ alone. God help us to always find comfort, assurance, and salvation in great confidence in our great Redeemer, our great Savior, who gave himself for our sin. There is therefore, right now, no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ because he sacrificed himself to put away our sin, the sin of God's elect. the sin of God's covenant people. Let us always remember as well, it is who he is that gives infinite value to what he accomplished. It's just not that a Jewish man died. There were many Jews crucified when Rome came and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD or thereabout. There were thousands crucified. But their blood being shed had no effect, did it? Not at all. But the one who died there on Calvary's tree is God's provided lamb, and it's who he is that gives eternal value to what he did. God bought us with his own blood. He brought in for us not only eternal redemption, but he brought in for us everlasting righteousness, and he redeemed us from all our sin. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now here's the last thing. The wonderful success declared to put away sin. To put away sin. It wasn't an attempt to put away sin. He didn't make it a possibility that someday, somehow, some way, we might contribute to put away sin. It says here that he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Make no mistake, the blood sacrifice and death of the Lord Jesus Christ was no failure or an attempt to put away sin. He made full atonement for the sin of his covenant people. Call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. Now, did he get the job done? God said he did. How do we know he got the job done? He was raised from the dead, delivered for our offenses, and raised again because he justified us. How do we know that? He ascended to heaven and he sat down. Why did he sit down? He finished the work. You remember his first recorded words there in Luke chapter 2. I must be about my Father's business. And then he prayed in John 17, Father, I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. And then at Calvary's tree, his last words were what? It's finished. It's done. It's over. Sin is put away. What he came to do and what he intended to do, he fully accomplished. And the scriptures declare that he did not fail. Our Lord knows nothing of defeat or failure. He knows a lot about agony, but never the agony of defeat. It's the agony of victory. He has conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. He's in charge. He's king in salvation. He's king in providence. He's king in all creation. He's the sovereign king who rules and reigns over all. Now think about this. He's a conquering, victorious Lord. He left nothing undone in the matter of redemption, in the matter of salvation, in the matter of righteousness. He left nothing undone and left nothing for us to do. Think about it. When he had by himself purged our sin, he left nothing undone, and he left nothing for us to do. Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace, being confident of this very thing, that God who has begun a good work in you, you reckon he'll finish it up? I reckon so. I'm confident of it. He cannot fail. In him dwells all the fullness of a Godhead bodily, and in Christ you stand, what's that word? Complete. Not good news. I don't care for anything else. Don't tell me anything about a Savior who wants to and can't. Don't tell me anything about a Savior who died to make salvation a possibility if you meet certain conditions. I don't want to hear anything about that. This sinner who is guilty and bound to pray needs a Savior who accomplished all of salvation for me, or I'll never be justified before God. Nor will you. The Lord Jesus Christ, His one sacrifice, His one death, His one atonement for our sin, the sin of His people, put away the sin of His people forever. They no longer exist. They're gone. They're not just simply hid or covered. Really? Really? Look what it says over here in Hebrews 10:17. For by the one offering He perfected forever them that are sanctified. Look at verse 17, Hebrews 10. This is another one of my favorite verses. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He separated us from our sin. They do not exist. He put them away. The old writer, John Owen, said, when sin landed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the sin of God's covenant people, sin committed suicide on Christ. You remember that? One time my sin separated me from God. Now my sin is forever separated from me. Think about it. As far as the east is from the west. In closing, let me give you this. Since it is true that the Lord Jesus Christ died as a sinner's substitute, and He did, the just for the unjust, bearing their sin in His own body on the tree, shouldering their guilt, enduring their punishment, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. Enduring our punishment, being made sin for us, and in doing so satisfied God's law and justice, redeemed us from the curse of the law. In doing so made peace with God with His own blood, and in doing so reconciled us unto God in Christ. Therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, Hebrews 9, verse 26, one more time. I want you to take this home with you tonight. And when you pillow your, when you put your head down on the pillow, may God ring this through your mind again and again. But now once in the end of the world, in the end of the age, hath He appeared. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to put away sin, to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And may God give you grace in your heart and faith in your heart to rest in Him. Amen. Who finished. Now here's the thing. We've often heard it said, well, I'm resting in the finished work of Christ. Now wait a minute. Hold on a minute. That's really not a good saying. Because I'm resting in the Lord Jesus Christ who finished the work. You see what I'm saying? It's all relative to Him. I'm resting in Him who finished and accomplished our salvation for us. May God bless His word. May God bless you for Christ's sake. Amen.